This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Identifying. Come on, one.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here with another show today. We're going to be shaking things up. I am still on my Mint 400 hangover. Yeah, it was a long weekend in Las Vegas. I had a long race week. Obviously, you can follow all my shenanigans and find out the full story there if you follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media. Obviously spending a week in Vegas for the biggest, baddest off-road race on the planet. I did plenty of interviews while I was out in Vegas, and lots to talk about regarding that, as well as motorsports. So we're shaking it up. No long-form interview today. I do have three guests, though, and these interviews were done on Fremont Street. We interviewed my good friend Seth Quintero. He ended up winning the naturally aspirated UTV race. Young gun, Red Bull athlete, just a super nice kid. We also had Craig Scanlon. He was, kingpin over there at 4Wheel Parts now, and also formerly with Polaris Razor. He's a factory Razor racing guy. He was doing the Mint 800 double duty in one day. We caught up with Craig Scanlon. And then my good friend, she's been a guest here on Project Action, as well as my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, Miss Sarah Price, the first lady of off-road racing. So caught up with her as well. Lots of fun. So we're going to air those interviews. And then we're also going to have here in a few minutes my good friend Chris Leone. He manages my website, my media manager. We didn't get a chance this week because we had our live show from Fremont to do our power rankings. So we are going to throw some motorsports shenanigans. This was a massive weekend in motorsports. We are going to have our racing power rankings on Project Action this week instead of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So shaking things up a bit. I like it. You never know what you're going to get from us here at Project Action. So once again, it's at JimBeaver15 on social media. I like getting your feedback on these power rankings. Also, make sure and subscribe to this show on iTunes. Your subscriptions do help us. Please subscribe on iTunes to Project Action, as well as my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. And if you're an Uber fan, or if you actually hate me, make sure and leave a rating and a review. I find some of the reviews quite funny. Some of them, lots of really supportive. Whether you like me, hate me, leave a rating or a review. 1 through 5 stars. Won't tell you how to rate me, but do please take the time to leave those ratings or reviews on iTunes. It does help us. And my promise, as always, a lot of you wonder, hey, Jimmy, how do I get a follow on social media? You want to follow? Well, it's easy as at JimBeaver15 is my social media handle. But if you leave a rating or review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username on iTunes in the body of the review, leave your review, hey, I hate Jimmy, at so-and-so, right? Well, I'll know who at so-and-so is. And even if you hate me, I'll still go and follow you on social media. So that's my promise to you. Want to follow? Boom. That's the easiest way to get it. Now, before we get into these power rankings, we do have some amazing partners here on Project Action, and definitely I would like to tell you about them. And these guys here, man, it's funny. Once in a while, there's a company you actually use, and you actually wear, and they want to get involved, and it makes things really easy. And you know me, I'm out at motorsports events. I'm traveling. I'm out in the dirt. And, you know, I'm a jean guy, you know, and everybody has their favorite pair of jeans. You know, the pair that fits perfectly, always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home on the couch, at work, wherever, they're your go-tos. And you know what? Do not underestimate their importance. Nobody knows this better than our friends at Wrangler, the authority on jeans, using their expertise in comfort and durability. Wrangler jeans, they're made for the adventurers, the go-getters, the people like you and I who keep moving. Whether we're riding bikes, horses, skateboards, dirt bikes, you know what? You're the type that walks the earth in search of something. These are the jeans for you. They got classic and modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works for everybody. Vintage re-releases, Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans and also shirts, pants, outerwear for both men and women. New styles, great fits, Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans. You know, and another company that's been involved with us, and I have a lot of fun with these boys, and Dave Mason at BetOnline.ag, he'll actually be one of our guests next week talking about March Madness. And speaking of March Madness, March has arrived, and the action continues to roll this week with huge games across the NBA and playoff implications and the always exciting conference tournaments in college basketball. March Madness is looming, and as I've been saying for months, there's only one place to get all the early lines and all the action you want, and that is our friends at BetOnline.ag. Sign up today, get a free account at BetOnline.ag, use the promo code PODCAST1, get a 50% sign-up bonus. Yes, I said 50% sign-up bonus. You know, in the NHL, yeah, we were talking basketball a minute ago, switching it up, we're going to talk NHL. Tampa, New York, Winnipeg, Calgary, they're all on top of their divisions. Washington, they got a chance to repeat the Stanley Cup. We'll see. Can Vegas repeat its magic form from last year and get back on top? Toronto and Nashville are staying close too. And my own Coyotes, they may actually sneak into the playoffs this year. You know what? You need to use your mobile device right now, today, and sign up at betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1, get a 50% sign-up bonus, and try in-game live betting for all the fun and the action. betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. And when you want to talk about support, you got to talk about somebody that's been here since day one, and somebody I actually use quite frequently. My friends at True Car, you know, and every car comes with its share of stories. You got a ding in your bumper when you picked up a first date. You got a luxury package after you got a big promotion at work. You know what? Sometimes you may save mileage on your car because you rode your bike all summer. Well, you can't put a price tag on those stories. But now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to True Car, simply enter your license plate number, and watch magically as all your car's details pop right up. Answer a few questions. Do you have navigation or a moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? Yep, you knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet, and you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes you can take to your local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So, when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. And you know what? That True Cash offer, it's not available in all states. And, you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Mine is very long every day. I'm actually looking at mine right now, and it's like 18 things to do before 5 o'clock, starting with this podcast. You know, sometimes you got to go drop off the dry clean. Sometimes you got to pick up some groceries. Sometimes you got to go pay some bills. Well, you know what? You need to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to your to-do list. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off anything, and you don't have to go anywhere. All you have to do is simply log on to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? You know I like that. It just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And thanks to our friends at GEICO, True Car, BetOnline.ag, and Wrangler Jeans, we are going to roll right into, talking some power rankings with my boy from the website. You know, find him at downanddirtyshow.com, cranking out all those content pieces. He also helps me manage my social media accounts and this show, as well as the Down and Dirty Radio Show, Chris Leone. All right, I'd like to welcome Chris Leone to the show. Chris, man, power rankings. I know you and I have been talking off the air. Wow, this was a wild week. I know I told you, and just so listeners to Project Action know, because we normally do this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, we've got our power rankings, our weekly power rankings we do every year for, or every week for motorsport. It's top five, I don't know how we'd put it. It kind of does factor in previous weeks, but not really. It's basically a seven-day body of work and who killed it in the last 7 days. This week is so big, Chris. I've got five, and I got three honorable mentions. What? This was a difficult week, buddy.
Oh, it absolutely was, Jim. And, I mean, it took me quite a while. I had eight names down just like you. I had to kick off three honorable mentions myself and narrowing down the top five. And I look down and I'm looking at my list right now and I still don't even know if I'm happy with it. But you know what? We're going to roll with it. And I have also got to say it's exciting to be on Project Action for the first time. Like you said, we typically do these on the Down Dirty Radio Show. But, for all the Project Action listeners, hopefully you'll tune in and listen to us do power rankings every week on the Down and Dirty Show and hopefully argue with us.
Yeah, that's what I love when we get the fan feedback. And, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at my three honorable mentions. They totally could have been on my list of five. I'm looking at my list of five going, you know, a lot of them are interchangeable. I think my number one is a legit number one. And I got a feeling he might be on your list as well. But I'm just kind of looking down, and I'm like, man, a lot of these are interchangeable. Like, I don't know if there's a right answer this week because it was just that good of a week, you know?
Oh, yeah, and this coming week is going to be that good of a week, too. We have the first race of the Formula One season. We have Stage Rally. We have everything. Yeah. Once you finally get to March and once you finally get over the hump.
Lucas, NHRA, I mean, it's crazy this week. Supercross again.
Oh, man. We're going to be crunching numbers all weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. So I guess we'll save our honorable mentions for after we're done. But the way we do this is we kind of start with our top five, and both of you and I give our pick, our reasoning, and things like that. So I will start with my number five, Chris. I had Team Penske's Joseph Newgarten, who obviously won the IndyCar opener at St. Pete. It's too early in the season. St. Pete, obviously, it's the opener. A lot of people want to know who's going to come out on top. I mean, it's bragging rights to win that first race. You know, it kind of sets the tone for the whole season. That being said, St. Pete isn't like opening the NASCAR season at the Daytona 500 either. So it's not necessarily their biggest race of the year. But I do think Newgarten, I mean, he set a tone for the year. You want to go out, you want to win that first one. It wasn't a massive victory by any means, but I think just, you know, being as the IndyCar opener, there's been a crazy offseason in IndyCar. I thought that was it was a statement. I mean, you want to win that first race and say, hey, look, I'm the guy to beat this season, and Newgarten did that.
Oh, absolutely. And my number five, we're sticking on four wheels in the pavement, but we are going to a total different discipline. And I can just hear the collective groan of the listeners when I say that I'm going to go to NASCAR, but I've got to keep Kyle Busch on my list. I've been one of the people who has been arguing in favor of his 200th victory when it comes being a more impressive stat than Richard Petty's. And that's growing up a Richard Petty fan, you know, no less, but just he continues to pile on win after win, and he's not doing it the easy way. You know, a lot of the wins that he's taken are just not guaranteed, but he's coming through the field and, you know, he's earning it. You know, Phoenix had to come up on Ryan Blaney, made that pass late in the race, did what he needed to do. And, whenever he gets that 200th National NASCAR Touring Series win, it's going to be a special one. So, you know, I've been watching that for years now, waiting for that day to come. And, it's imminent. It's coming soon.
Yeah, no, I no arguments there whatsoever with Kyle being at number five. I will say that he's on my list. We'll just have to see where he slots in at. So I'm completely agreeing with everything you just said. Probably even more so than you. So, but yeah, Kyle Busch, no problems there at number five. I'm going on to number four. This one is going to be controversial, and I'm throwing him on there because it was the biggest division at the Mint 400, 77 entries. It's a car in its second race. He's coming off a King of the Hammers victory that was his back-to-back King of the Hammers wins. Now he's won two straight Mint 400s in Pro Turbo UTV. this has got to be one of the most competitive fields in any division in any motorsport. There's that, it's that stacked, and it isn't the premier division, but I'm saying it's that tight of racing. I had Mitch Guthrie Jr. coming in at number four on my power rankings, and I think a lot of people outside of the off-road industry are going to be like, what the actual hell, Jimmy? But I'm going to stand by it because I've raced against this kid. And it wasn't an easy fight. I mean, this thing all the way down to the wire. So I got Mitch Guthrie Jr. at number four on my list. Back-to-back Mint 400 winners. And his last two races was a King of the Hammers win and Mint 400 win. Like, two of the biggest crowns in all of off-road, like, back-to-back in the same, like, almost in the same month. It's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was such a strong run. And, you know, being out there and listening to the radio and hearing the updates, you know, the battle that he had between him, Dustin Jones, a couple of other racers towards the front, they were all on top of each other all event long. But my number four, I'm staying in the same race. I'm going to a different division. I'm going to say Brock Hager. He has been on fire since the truck. Went out and won the class in his debut in your hometown of Benton Parker, came out to the Mint, won time trials, won the race. Doesn't help that he's got a, you know, pretty cool looking truck too. I am always a sucker for throwback liveries, especially the one that that they're running with those familiar red and white shapes on it. But you know, it's Brock has really impressed me, and he's been a top driver in short course racing as well. He was the Class 1000 champion in Best in the Desert last season. So, you know, Brock absolutely deserved a space, I think, on my top five list. And that was one of those ones where I snuck him in at the very last minute. At first I was going to leave him off, and I just realized, no, I can't do that. Yeah. That's a name that I can't leave off there. Yeah.
Well, and what's crazy is I just had this conversation. I did the Dirty Dooner podcast with yesterday, and we talked about Hager. And I will say Hager's not on my list, and he's not in my honorable mentions, but that isn't – it's because, like, how deep do I make my honorable mentions this week? But the kid is super talented. Like, I mean, he deserves to be on the list. Like, I'm not going to argue with that. Like, what he accomplished there at the Mint was crazy. I guess the reason why I didn't have him on the list is because 6100 field is stacked, but the two people I had on my list from the Mint 400, one being Mitch Guthrie Jr., I just felt like the division is a little bit harder to win. Not that 6100 is easy, because anybody in off-road will tell you there's three divisions, 6100, you know, and there's Pro Turbo, UTV, and Trick Truck. They're the biggest division. So no slight on him. He could have been on my list of just how many Mint 400 winners can you have on your list, which brings me to my number three. Three-time Mint 400 winner, Justin Lofton, dominating performance. You know, this guy somehow has figured out how to win at the Mint 400. And, you know, I could talk all day long about Justin Lofton. He's a good friend of mine. But, you know, he was an off-road kid. He went and did stock car stuff, had some success in stock cars. You know, did a lot of time in, I call it the Craftsman Truck Series still. But that's just me. But, you know, I think just there was just it was too expensive for him to stay NASCAR racing. And, you know, and he came back to off-road and just super talented kid. And you know, he came in at my number three. So I guess overall Mint 400 winner Justin Lofton. Who'd you have at number three?
I had Austin Faulkner, who is back to his winning ways in Supercross in the 250 class. Austin has not lost a main event to another East rider. He didn't win the East West showdown in Atlanta, but he did top all the other riders. Because of the way that they score points in that, where, you know, it doesn't matter what championship you're in, you're not scored relative to one another. He, halfway through the season, is 5 points away from a perfect season. And he's 23 points up on the two riders who are tied in second place, which is the difference between a second place finish in the main and going home early,
yeah,
which is an absolutely insane lead to build halfway through the year. You know, Faulkner has been absolutely on fire. I know that he fell out of the title race last year. I think he got hurt and missed a couple of races towards the end. But, you know, you get guys like that who come out with something to prove, and, you know, sometimes they can put together something that's really special. And so far what Faulkner has done has been exactly that. You know, even if it ends up, and I'm not saying that it will by any means, it sure doesn't look like it, but even if the wheels start to come off towards the second half of the season, the way Faulkner's riding a 250 right now, he looks like he's ready to make the jump pretty darn soon.
Yeah. Well, and as you say all that, you basically introed my number two for me, Austin Faulkner. So for all the reasons you just said, I had Faulkner slotted in at number two. And like I said, and I think you and I can both agree this week, a lot of these are interchangeable. You know, I don't know that I can put one performance over the others. You know, it's just they're just I think they're interchangeable. Like you said, I mean, the guy's dominating the East. If it was, you know, he's damn near sweeping the season so far. It's just an impressive season he's putting, you know, together. And, you know, and for us to say, I would say he's having one of the best Supercross seasons out of anybody. And that's including West. That's, you know, including 450s. That's a statement, because most of the time people, like, you know, they defer to 450s. And like, to me, I don't know, this is a magic season for Austin Faulkner. So he is my number two for all the reasons you just said. Who's your number two?
My number two is actually Ricky Brabeck. The Mint 400 bringing motorcycles back for the first time since 1976. You know, I know everybody kind of had a soft spot for it, and so maybe it got elevated up the list a little bit. I know it was a different course than you guys ran in the, you know, in the UTVs and then the trick trucks ran and on, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that was an impressive battle for the win there. And to have somebody like that come and do the Mint with motorcycles coming back, to have somebody who nearly won the Dakar Rally, you know, not only be willing to come out and support that kind of racing here in the States, but also, you know, come out and score a pretty dominant victory. You know, I am super impressed with how Ricky rode this weekend. You know, Jacob Argabright really pressured him pretty hard throughout the event. And I know that Ricky and Kendall Norman traded off, and Jake actually Ironmaned the thing. So I'll tell you right now that if an Ironman had won the overall bike race at the Mint 400, they would have been my clear cut number one. Absolutely. So, but you know, again, it was a strong ride from Ricky. You know, he's doing some big things. I would not be shocked to see him go win Dakar. But the other cool thing was, I was at the awards banquet, and Ricky talked about how it might be cool to ride ride like a vintage bike or something like that next year. And man, that would be awesome to see just somebody who is a modern champion go out and ride something that the heroes of the original Mint 400 used to race with.
Yeah, that would be rad. And I didn't have Ricky on my list. And I actually, he was one of those, and he's not one of my honorable mentions either. He was one of those I was teetering on. And I guess, and it's not taking away from his performance, because he came out and he won the Mint 400, first time it's back. I guess me looking at just the competition compared to some of the other victors, I felt might have been just a hair lacking. And that's not taking away from Brabeck's win at all. Like I said, this is one of those where you and I are trying to quantify, you know, these crazy victories of people. And it's like, it's hard. It's like, it's really, really difficult. And I actually challenge all our listeners, you know, it's like, go out and do this. Try and do it and make a business case for each person. You know, it's easy to make a list, but to actually make a list and then, like, have to stand by and defend, you know, who you put and where, it's not easy. And, you know, Brabeck, for some odd reason, he just drew the short straw on my list. And I like Ricky. I know Ricky. He's a great guy. So I am super stoked to have the bikes back and to see him. And I didn't know about the vintage bike, man. That would be super, super rad to see those guys, you know, to see him on a vintage bike next year. Just something different, man. Shake it up. And like you said about Dakar, I think this was his Dakar to lose. And I think as we all found out, I think the rest of the world has been put on notice that Brabeck is the guy to beat, you know, next year in the Dakar. So, yeah, I'm not going to argue with him at number two for you, which leads me to my number one, which in this weird, weird world, the stock car guy, Chris Leone, had him at number five. The guy that's anti-stock car, which is me, has him at number one. I got Kyle Busch as my number one. Two wins in one weekend. And that's the reason why. We're talking two main event victories. You know, we're not talking like local dirt tracks and crap like that. You know, this is two national level wins in one weekend. And that's how I drew the line. I'm like, man, anybody can win two in one weekend or something like that. That's special. So almost at 200 victories, Kyle Busch, you talked about him earlier. I just thought, you know, that's special. And like you said, whenever he gets number 200, Chris, it's going to be a big deal. Doesn't matter what track it happens at.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just to continue topsy-turvy world, yeah, the stock car guy has the trick truck winner at the top of his list. I'm going with Justin Lawton for that third Mint 400 victory. You know, doing it three times in 5 years is unreal. Justin was already the first trick truck racer to win the overall back-to-back years, which he did in 2015 and 16. Now he's the first to get that third overall. You know, and he had to do it against some pretty stacked competition. I mean, Brett Serapis was, you know, pretty close on that last lap. But, you know, you got to think about Bryce Menzies, those first two laps of the race. I mean, Menzies, Lofton, they were trading the lead on corrected time, you know, at the halfway point and at the checkered, you know, at the start-finish line of the first two laps. I mean, I looked at the scoring. They were within a minute of one another that whole time. Then Bryce finally started running into some trouble, and then Justin was kind of able to take it. You had a couple of other guys who had some issues. Rob Mack, you know, Rob McCracken was closing in, but sort of fell out of contention there late. Jason Voss, I know he's still searching for his first Mint victory. He was sort of closing in, but it ended up being Lofton on top. And, you know, after seeing that race in person for the first time, you know, man, I can't say enough about anybody who can, you know, conquer that. Obviously, I can't say enough about just how well they did. You know, that whole team, just what a weekend. The Mint is one of the most fantastic races of the year, and had a hell of a time going out there for the first time.
Yeah, it's just a rad event. Anybody, and yeah, it's a week long. It's draining. I'm still on my Mint 400 hangover, and we're almost. And I don't mean that like on the booze sense. Just literally, it's a lot to take in over the course of a week. And it's like I've needed this week just to reboot, you know. But it's just massive. Which brings me and to my honorable mentions. And like I said, I mean, Brabeck and Brock Hager could have both been on my list. They're not my honorable mentions. Two of the three are Mint 400 guys. One, I'll just give you all three at once and then you can give me yours. But one is Travis Chase, won the Class 5000, the first car race overall, the one on Saturday afternoon, turns around, backs it up with a podium, I believe a second place in 6100 on Sunday. It was a very, very good weekend for Travis Chase and General Tire. I think, you know, if he would have been able to do the double and win both, would have been just amazing. But I had him on my honorable mention, probably only because he only took a podium in the second race and not a victory. But nonetheless, I thought it was a phenomenal effort by Travis. Seth Quintero, 1900 class winner, actually one of our guests today on the show, the interview I did with him on Fremont. But Seth, this kid, I've talked about him before. He's been a guest on the show numerous times. This kid is the future. He's 15 years old. He's winning things like the Mint 400. And obviously it isn't in the quote unquote premier turbo division, but 1900 NA, you know, it's basically like the Xfinity series for UTVs. And this kid's winning a lot down there, back-to-back wins. I hope he stays there for another couple years before he moves up and really hones his racecraft. But Seth Quintero there, I had him on my honorable, you know, mention list just for that victory. And then finally, I had Eli Tomac. Eli is he's turned his season around. He's winning some races in 450 and obviously coming off a victory this past weekend. So I didn't think what he did, you know, top the season Faulkner's having or you know, or the weekends a lot of these other guys had. But I did think Tomac was worth mentioning this week.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Eli headlines my list of honorable mentions as well. I mean, Daytona Supercross is always going to be a special victory. But, you know, two of the other names that are on my honorable mention list are actually two of the names that were on your list, which are Joseph Newgarden and Mitch Guthrie Jr. You know, fantastic starts to the season for both of them. Two, you know, great young American talents in their respective fields who are just doing a terrific job of, you know, going out and just getting the job done. I mean, Newgarden kind of was built up over the years as the next great American open wheel driver. And I think he's fulfilled that. You know, Mitch Guthrie Jr. is pretty much going to be the same thing in UTV racing. You know, he's going to be somebody who I think we see for a very long time, you know, running towards the front, obviously somebody who I think would be cool to watch in some of the, premiere, you know, the trick trucks at some point as well, just because it's always fun to watch different drivers move up. And, you know, you mentioned Seth as well, and I think Seth talked a little bit on the Mint 400 live stream about wanting to, you know, move up eventually. But yeah, you know, he's a teenager. You don't want to rush that sort of thing. You want to make sure that you get the job done, you know, properly and do your development work well when you're a teenager and build those good habits. So when you go up, not only are you not overwhelmed, but you've got all of the skills and all the assets, you know, in your toolbox to be able to be successful for a good long time. But yeah, I mean, what does it say about the past weekend in racing that we've got guys like Joseph Newgarden, Eli Tomac, you know, Seth Quintero on our respective honorable mention list? That's nuts. I can only imagine what we're going to have to do this coming weekend where all four NHRA classes are in action. Supercross is back at Indianapolis. 100 Acre Wood Rally has this ridiculously stacked entry list. Formula One is back in action. Oh, man, we are... Get those DVRs ready, Jimmy. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm just looking down the list going, I don't know what... How do you weigh stuff? I mean, how do you weight it next week? It's like NHRA, you know, it's 50th anniversary of the Gator Nats. I'm going to give that one a little bit of heavy weight. That's a big, big event to win. You know, and that's one of their marquee events on the calendar. So, you know, but then, you know, Lucas kickoff at Glen Helen under the lights. I know you won't be there. I'll be calling the action. Just slide that plug in there. I know you'll be tuned into the live stream, though. And then, yeah, I mean, Formula One, I'm just looking down this list, Supercross, more of that. I don't know, Chris, this is, I refuse to make this a list of 10. We will not ever go there because I think we have to keep it at 5, but I don't know, man.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a dartboard and I'm going to put all 20 names of this weekend's big winners somewhere on the dartboard. And I'm going to, well, I'm not going to blindfold myself because that's a bit much, but I'm going to throw darts at it and I'm going to throw 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And whatever I hit, that'll just have to be my list because that's where we're at right now. I mean, there are just some weekends that are so ridiculously packed with action motorsports, but that's all you can do. The first weekend of June is typically one of those weekends where it seems –
You and I have cracked up about this, and X Games at least moved off that to July. But there for a while, X Games was on that weekend too, and it was like Baja 500, X Games, Formula Drift, Global Rallycross, like motocross. Like, it was bananas, and I'm like, how does that happen on one particular weekend, you know? And it's like now, you know what I mean? It's like we've got that now here in March, and I know that same weekend in June, some dates have moved off of it. And then other people have moved back onto that date. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's there's just sometimes there's those magical weekends. Labor Day is another one. Well, Memorial Weekend's always big. But then you've got Labor Day, which we've got Crandon, and obviously you got NHRA at Indy. You know, that's another one that's just kind of wild. So I don't know. It's like we got these little pockets throughout the year where there's like these couple key weekends. And I don't know why, for what reason they become that, but they are, you know?
You know, if I were to start my own racing series, and that could be a whole different episode of Project Action. We'll have to do that someday. You know when I'd run? The weekend after all of those super weekends. That'd be my weekend. I would own it every single time. I'd have this incredible schedule with, like, no competition. But, again, that's another story, as are all of the experiences that we had with GRC at X Games. We'll have to get into those sometime because – there were some pretty funny stories from those years that we were able to do that and that weekend. But yeah, man, I am with you. It is so nice to have one event move off of that super weekend, but that is always my busiest weekend of the year. So when we have to do the power rankings for that one, we may need to give it 10 just for that one weekend in June, because otherwise there's no freaking way we're going to get everybody who had a great weekend on there.
Yeah, IndyCar has their Detroit double that weekend. I just remembered. I'm like, IndyCar has a double header that weekend. Like, if you don't have to actually count in one, how do you say one guy had a better victory when they're running the same track, you know, in a double header back to back? Like, I don't know. That weekend is bananas.
I just look for the guy with two podiums, man. That's all you can do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who had the best aggregate? That's the guy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's wild. So, all right, Chris, well, always fun catching up, man. Thanks for helping out with the Power Rankings. You know, hopefully you guys that are just tuning into this show, and this is the first time you heard of Power Rankings, you've never listened to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, make sure and skip over there on Tuesdays. We do that. Same thing, Podcast One Network, my website, downanddirtyshow.com, also iTunes and national syndication, AFN, the whole work. So, all right, thanks a lot, Chris.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim. And before I go, listeners, Power Rankings, at Jim Beaver 15, at Christopher Lyon, please argue with us. We love opinions. That's what talk radio is for, right, Jimmy?
Absolutely. That is definitely what talk radio is for. Get those passionate fans out. All right, now we are going to roll right into some of these interviews I did down on Fremont Street at the Mint 400. Guests include Seth Quintero, my good friend Sarah Price, as well as Craig Scanlon. Hopefully you enjoy them. All right, we've got my boy and, I guess, factory Polaris Razor Racing, Seth Quintero here. And I'm just seeing, I love when Seth walks up. So, like, he's the youngest Red Bull athlete in history. And how many offers do you get for your hats? Like, because I know, like, Pastrana's told me, like, people literally, like, because those things are, like, uber exclusive. Like, you can't buy them. You can't anything. They're not like the other energy drink brands where they just throw them out and hand them out like candy. Like, people get a hold of them. Those things bring, like, hundreds of dollars on eBay if somebody can, like, snake one somehow. Like, I mean, it's like, have you ever had, like, offers? Hey, let me have one of your old hats, Seth.
Yeah, this powder coating guy that I actually went to one time, he's like, I will give you $1,000 for that hat right now. And I'm like, sorry, I can't give it away.
You didn't give him a hat. You didn't give that hat for $1,000.
They can't, though. They literally, if they do in Red Bull, like, it's whacked. Like, you're done.
Yeah. Okay, I almost sold a pizza here in Vegas for $200 one night.
Wow.
I'm just putting that out there. If you're really hungry at 2 a.m., walk around with a pizza and people will – and just be like, people just offer it away. And you, I bet you could get $200 for a pizza.
Probably.
Yeah, pizza business. Don't be in the hat, Red Bull hat business.
No, it's no.
Like bad juju.
Yeah.
So, no, like, I mean, I'm stoked to catch up. I know. So, we're round two for UTVs of Best in the Desert. And, Seth, I mean, we had you on the national show, but this boy is a points leader right now in production 1000. He's coming off his very first Best in the Desert win. Like, this is a big, big event for you, Seth.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. You know, last race, I ended up getting that first. And last year at this race, in the Mint 400, I got second. So, that was my first race of the year. And I'm hoping to hopefully get on top of the box this time. We've been really putting in our time and homework, and hopefully we can get it done.
And, you know, 1,000 is crazy. Like, even, I mean, a lot of people talk about turbo, and I look at 1,000, man, and it's a stacked class there. I mean, you got, like, we've got Kristen Matlock and others like that. I mean, it's crazy. Both UTV divisions are completely, like, stacked fields. It's not like, you know, it used to be people like, oh, they're going to run that class and cherry pick. I'm like, nah, you're not cherry picking.
Yeah, not at all.
No cherry picking in UTVs.
Yeah, I got Kristen Matlock, who's like, she overhauled the Baja 1000 in her NA car, which absolutely blows my mind. Yeah. And having her behind me scares the heck out of me. But, yeah, we got, like, Kristen Matlock. I don't think Dodge Poland's racing this year, but he raced last year and won it. He's always a heavy hitter. And Corbin Wells, Caden Wells, all those guys, they're all fast and it's definitely a struggle trying to get on top.
Yeah. So what are you doing every lap?
Yeah, every lap. I'm hoping my foot can last every lap because I hopped on a dirt bike a couple weeks ago and ended up hurting my foot pretty bad. It's kind of swollen right now. But I think we'll be able to get all the laps done.
I was going to say, like, I feel bad for you because, like, I was able before I started my racing career to get, like, all the crazy, like, stuff you do when you're a teenager, like, out of the way. And so, like, I made all these mistakes, like, you know, rolled ankles, whatever, but I didn't have this racing career. He got Seth with Polaris contracts, Red Bull contracts, and it's like, you want to be, like, do the rad teenager stuff, but at the end of the day, you're like, maybe I shouldn't do that because, like, I could actually screw something up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up riding dirt bikes and riding BMX bikes, but all that kind of came to a halt when I was probably around 12, 13 when everything started getting a little bit more serious, and I definitely miss it all, but I wouldn't change it for a thing.
Yeah. Well, and, like, Seth and I were talking, like, I told him, I'm like, he's, like perfect age. He likes to game a little bit. I'm like, I was like, you need to be, like, the first dual Red Bull athlete who is, like, the esports side and the actually racing side. I'm like, we need to really, like, we got to get those, my friends at Red Bull, like, on this, like, Seth Quintero, like, dual threat thing.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, much the esports has taken off, you know. Like, it's almost getting, like, as big as the off-road industry. And you walk into the Red Bull headquarters and there's 100 computers in a room all lined up for all the Red Bull gamers. And that just, that blows my mind.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Wait. I want to hear some more about this Red Bull gamers thing.
You didn't know?
No, I know a little bit about it. But, okay, which side do you like better? Do you like the gaming side or do you like the driving side? Because it's a little bit of fun of both, right?
Yeah, they're both like stupidly fun, but I love the racing side. I could never get away from it. But yeah, you walk into Red Bull headquarters, and on the right side there's the gym, and on the left side it's like seriously like 100 computers in a glass box room that are lined up with all gamers, and it's pretty crazy.
Have you got to go in the cryo tank they've got at the fitness center?
Yeah, it was like negative 200 and something degrees.
Yeah. The day I was in there, they were actually installing it. The last time I was in there, which was a few years ago, and I told him it was when Colby was still at Red Bull.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like, you want to get in there, right? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, dude, we can't. It's not turned on yet.
Dude, no, hopping in that thing, we did a full workout day. I did a moto camp with all the kids, and hopping in that thing after, you just feel like nothing ever happened.
That's crazy. What I was wondering. Like, that's crazy that it's that cold, though.
Yeah. And then they have that simulator in there where the seat moves, and it's got like 3 40-inch TVs around you, and it just feels so surreal.
That's crazy. It's like, I don't know. Have you ever been to Red Bull HQ?
No, that's why he's talking. I have no idea. But you want to take me one day, Seth? Let's go.
They've got like these weird, it's almost like skateboard ramps in there. And then they've got like a Formula One car sitting there. They've got like a Dakar motorcycle there. Like it's, like, I don't know. It's like to me, it's like a paradise for like anybody like us. It's like you go in there and it's like Disneyland.
Yeah, the main office has a whole skate park going over the office.
Yeah, that's
it's like
awesome.
These rolling ramps.
Big rollers, and they have like Indy cars. Like he said, they have a NASCAR in there now, and they have multiple buildings, and one building is just full of dirt bikes. Like the clothing room is just full of dirt bikes, and it's super cool just like see what they're doing.
Awesome. So. Well, Seth and I are going to go to Red Bull headquarters soon. Right. Do you need a prom date? I could be your prom date.
Yeah. Funny thing
prom
is
the Red Bull HQ.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is like Red Bull HQ too, it's like all unassuming on the outside. You would never know what it is unless you know what's actually there. No branding, no nothing. Looks like an old warehouse. Like literally, like people drive by it all day long, have no idea what it is.
Yeah, it's a giant brick building with like vines that are wrapping around it, and then you walk inside, you're like, oh my god, this is insane.
Yeah. So what's it going to take to put her on the box this weekend, Seth?
This weekend, I'm just looking for a finish. You know, being the points leader, I'm looking at the bigger picture, which is the championship. And I got my boss pulled.
Yeah, we got boss man sitting down here.
But, yeah, I'm hoping to at least get on the box, you know, maintain my points lead. And just going to try to drive consistent
race. We got Craig's in there. See, that? Maintain his points lead, man. Yeah, it's... All right, Seth, man. Well, we're going to get Mike Scanlon. I bet Craig's got a little bit of stuff here. You're joined here by Craig Scanlon with
what do you got for me?
Foil Parts.
What do you got for you?
What do you got for me?
You've known this kid forever. I mean, you kind of helped bring him into the Polaris side of things, you know what I mean, with his first contract and stuff. I mean, how impressive is this kid, Craig? Like, seriously. I mean, he's...
I'm slightly impressed by him, yeah.
Yeah, slightly.
No.
My nickname Cheeto.
Yeah, I nicknamed him Cheeto probably like 5 years ago because he wouldn't share his Cheetos with me. Wasn't impressed by that. No, his whole family, they're super impressive people. It's so fun to be around all of them. And talent-wise, he's just incredible. I mean, so couldn't have found a better kid.
Yeah.
Now he's turning like a young man.
That's why I was like, it's weird, right?
Because
I was like... Man, like, first time I met Seth, like, literally, I said kid. Like, I don't even know if you were 13 at the time.
Probably
you know what I mean?
Not.
It was like,
I mean, I just turned 16. Like, I'm still
Yeah,
grown.
It was like...
You're still taller than me, though. Yeah. Again, everybody's taller than me, so we're all good.
All right, Seth, man. Always good catching up, buddy. Good luck this weekend. Yeah. Lots of fun, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we got Seth walking away there. We got my good friend Craig Scanlon here, and... Yeah. I don't know, good to have you sitting down, Craig. This has been like a I don't know how long I've been with Polaris, 6 years, I think.
I've been with Polaris for 15 years, but if the Razor thing I did for 12 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think you signed me 5 6 years ago, and it's been like a 6-year mission for me to get you with a microphone, and it's finally happening. I'm like, man, what happened? Like, we got Craig here, mainly because you got something really big happening this weekend. You got to tell us about this, the Mint 800.
Sure, so we're going to do 2 races back-to-back, Keith, my co-driver, and I. We're going to do the UTV race in the morning, and then we're going to hop out of the UTV, our Razor, and jump right into a 6100 spec truck and then run another 400 miles of the spec truck. So it'll be a long day.
Yeah, it's – I'm just like – I don't know, man. And it's like people do, you know, that kind of distance at Baja all the time. That's not the mid 400. This course is beat up. Before on the first lap, it's bad. You're going to do like 6 laps around it.
Yes. So somebody last night said I was pre-running for the truck race in the first race, so – I'll be pre-running, and then I'll be racing the truck race, too. So, no, I think it's, I think the thing about Baja is you go from one point to another point. Here, all the Razors, all the bikes, all the trucks are going to be beating that course up over and over again, and it's going to make it a little bit more difficult. There's no highways to go and get on and run around and kind of get yourself collected back up. It's going to be like all on all the time from go at 6:30 a.m. So I'm hoping I finish by like 10:30 at night. So it's going to be a tough one.
What I mean, well, and I know with like the start of the truck race and then the, like the UTV race, is there any kind of procedure put in place? Like if you have a little bit of downtime in the UTV race and you're coming around, because you can't miss the start of the truck race, right?
Like no, it's going to be super tight. I was looking at it the other day, and it's I think with the there's an hour space in between this year, and then there's the minute between every truck and one car, and then there's 30 seconds between 6100. So with that time, I'm literally going to pull in and get out and get in if all things go perfectly in the first race.
Yeah, and it's not just you. It's your co-driver. He's doing it both, too. So he's doing the mint 800.
Yeah, like, I think it's way more gnarly on him than me. I mean, at least I have something to do. He's going to be sitting there bouncing around all day. I know when I'm going left. He doesn't. So it rattles the co-driver's body around way worse.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about that and talking about UTVs, I mean, you helped grow Polaris to where it's, you know, you're one of the guys that helped grow it, and this what we see here at the Mint, you know, in the classes and stuff. And you've always been the guy, you know, you not only worked for Polaris, but you were also racing, you know, and you were, you know, you knew what the consumer wanted and what the racers needed because you were both, you know. And I mean, we've got like 80 UTVs in Pro Turbo now. I mean, that's like, to me, Craig, I mean, UTVs now, it's like, what, close to 200 out here at the
Mint?
Yeah,
something like, crazy. It was six when the first race I went to was five Rhinos and one Razor. And now look at it. It's crazy. It's so cool, too, because, I mean, the UTVs are just getting so fast, and just watching it progress over a short amount of time. I mean, it's only been 10 years. Imagine what it would be like in 10 years from now. You know, all the manufacturers are not stopping where we're at now. So it's going to progress even further. And who knows, maybe even have its own race series at some point in time.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, you know, honestly, I think comes to a point where we're actually getting really close to that, where it's like you could run the UTVs on their own day or their own weekend, you know, here at the Mint.
Yeah. It'd be tough to, you know, as far as all this stuff is great, but like World Championships, think about World Championships and even Parker. I mean, it's a UTV race, really. So, no, but being a part of it over all the years, it's been fun to watch, you know. I feel kind of old, though. I mean, you look at Seth, you look at Mitchie, you look at RJ and Ronnie, and it's like, I remember them. They were like 12 when I met them, and now they're men. So it kind of creeps me out a little bit watching my age go by.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, God, I don't want to age myself, you know. It's like,
yeah.
So like, I remember Seth. I think he may have been like in a 170 or something, maybe when I first time I met him.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow. Like
now he's driving his own truck. It's weird.
Right.
But it's all good.
So yeah. So I mean, 6100 truck. I know you've done some stuff. You've been in a 6100 before. You raced with Johnny.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, you know, how much test time do you have in it? I mean, what's kind of the preparations for that? You know?
Oh, I have tons of time in it. We have like a whole 30 miles in it, so we're ready to go. No, we ran it a couple weeks ago in Parker when we saw you actually at your shop. We ran about 30, 40 miles that day, and then we got a whole mile and a half in it the qualifying yesterday. So, you know what, though? It's really just going to be about – it's not really about seat time at this point. I've driven vehicles enough in the desert. It's going to be about the mental part for me. You know, it's 16 hours of – sitting behind a wheel, the physical and all that stuff kind of goes out the window. It's going to be all inside my ears, you know, between the ears, so to speak.
Yeah, you got like a masseuse lined up for Monday and stuff?
Yeah. No, I have no alarm set for Monday, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
What I'm dreading the most is having to drive back to California on Monday. Like, I'm like, I don't want to have to get out of the cars on Sunday and actually get in the road and drive home. Like, I'm thinking about having somebody drive my truck home and flying home, so.
I was going to say, yeah, well, I guess that's another big story there. You know, you were with Polaris now, 4-Wheel Parts, obviously same company, you know, Polaris owns 4-Wheel Parts and TAP. But, it's moved to SoCal. I bet right now you're happier in SoCal and not in Minnesota with
the weather,
mountains of snow they've been getting.
The weather is slightly better. I have to go back to Minnesota once a month, and I literally try to do whatever I can to not actually be outside. So I will sprint to a car, and I will sprint into a building. It's so horrible there right now. So, the weather's better. The traffic is way worse.
Yeah.
I will take the traffic over the weather, though, right now. It's a long winter in Minnesota. It makes people tough, though.
Yeah.
Good people
definitely
up there.
Does. Yeah, absolutely. You've totally adopted SoCal, right?
I know. My blood's thinned out. I'm cold at, like, 50 degrees now. It's weird that I lived there last year.
So. Yeah, that is crazy, man. So, yeah, well, I mean, you know, what's the plans for you guys in the race program? I know with you do a little bit of Baja, mostly Best in the Desert as well. What's plans for this year?
We'll do Best in the Desert and the whole season, and then we'll do the 500 to 1,000 down in Baja.
Yeah.
And then next year we'll see what we do. Who knows? Who knows if we'll step up to a truck or stay in the Razors?
I know you've talked about even trying some short course at one point in time,
yeah.
Like you're doing like a pro light maybe for a couple of races or something.
Yeah, I think I've timed out on age on the short course stuff though. If you ever been to a short course race, you'll see these are young kids and they're crazy. Like they just love running into each other. Like like RJ and Batag, those two just when they go out there and just wreck each other's stuff. It's like, but no, I would probably do it for a little bit, but it's just so busy. I mean, between work and everything else, it's hard to do everything all the time. So we're gonna focus on the desert stuff for now. I really like the desert.
Yeah, deserts. Yeah, you talk about RJ and Ronnie, and I'm like, gosh, yeah, they wreck each other. We've seen them wreck each other at Glamis. You know they're going to be tough on the track when they're just playing and they crash each other.
And the weird part is they have to fix each other's stuff, so I'm not sure why they do it to each other. Just stay away. So anyway.
Awesome. So. All right, Craig. Well, always fun catching up. I can't say always fun. Well, we catch up all the time off the air, but finally great. Oh, we got Sarah. We're going to get Sarah mic'd up here because, I guess.
Go on together.
Yeah, we're just going to drop you in here
I'm
with Craig.
Out of here
yeah,
now.
Craig's like, because Craig is kind of in a roundabout way, a little bit of your boss. So
yeah, this is my boss for sure, right here.
That's creepy.
That's creepy.
Not really.
Nice red sunglasses, by the way.
I figured it'd help my I just needed to get out of the sun.
Yeah, yeah. I will just say all three of us were in the same place last night. All I will say is we're not talking about it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you bring it up. All I saw, but I'm not taking my sunglasses off.
Wait. I'll give you $5 to take your sunglasses.
No way.
No.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys.
All right.
Later.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks for everything, buddy.
Bye, Craig.
I'm leave the headphones here.
Yeah. All right. So, Miss Price, how is?
Thanks. Passing off some water this morning.
Yeah. So, Miss Price, I hear you had quite a hell of a good qualifying run yesterday.
Yeah, qualifying went really good. We went into it not trying to be any heroes. We were safer than sorry. And
I feel like she's too serious right now. Like, that was full on, like, we went in there trying to be. I'm like, come on, Sarah.
No.
Like, I'm like, we got to loosen up here. Like, that was like, I don't know. That was like.
That turned into robot mode.
That was like full on. Like, we were going to get the NASCAR rundown of sponsors. Yeah, the four-wheel parts, RPM off-road, SP Enterprises, 6100 truck. Like,
I know. I get totally, too. It's funny because you talk to me in person and I'm a little like all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to like get me to say a sentence correctly. And then you put me in like an interview and it's like. Everything comes out perfect, and I'm like, how does this happen? Why can't I just do that in normal life?
I was like, that was so, like, the start of that was not the Sarah I know.
Yeah.
we got to stop, reverse it. We're going to reboot this thing.
You should just start miking everybody at night and then doing the interviews at night. We need to do a nighttime with cocktails, and then that's how you're going to get them the real story.
Problem is like, none of that content we could actually probably air.
No. But you could be like, that's not what you said last night. You want me to replay?
Or we could just get a dump button and just do like the mute, be like do do do, and then say and come back, be like, you guys really wish you could have heard what we just said.
Yeah. There you go. That would be perfect. Yeah. But no, qualifying was awesome. We ended up doing sixth, which is great for us. And we're in a really good position. We're starting third now, which would be like, because we're double off the line.
Yeah.
So yeah, third. We're
well,
starting.
I don't know, that 6100 is just a crazy stacked class. Like, I don't know. To me, like, starting third is like starting first. Like, you're up at the front. You're not going to have to work your way through too much traffic, you know? It's like.
Yeah. And honestly, the goal isn't to work through the traffic. I think I'm just going to – my goal is to stay where I'm at for at least the first lap or two and then kind of see who's still standing to kind of pick it up some at the last bit, the last two laps.
I know even this race, like, it's like the first lap, just almost like you phone it in. It's like you just get through it. Don't get a flat. Like, just don't do something dumb.
Yeah.
And then the second lap, you pick up the pace. And then it's like, because people drop out, like, drop like flies in this race. And then the third lap, you're like, I got a truck left. Let's go race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what exactly we're trying to do, too, is just keep it together, really. I never been on this course, so I'm just kind of like,
I didn't know you hadn't been around this course.
No, I've never been on the mid course.
It's brutal.
That's what everyone says. And I'm like, okay. Well, we'll see.
we'll see what happens.
The scary part is it, like, it's rough, and rough isn't bad. Like, you've been to San Felipe. San Felipe is brutal rough.
I love San Felipe, though. I'm in this awesome truck. Like, San Felipe is a dream for me because it's like, dude, I never thought I could go through whoops like this. And I'm, like, going 90 through a whoop section. And I remember leaving a pit at San Felipe being like, guys, I just want to tell you, I'm going 90 right now over the whoops. This is the coolest time of my life.
Like, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Going off of that, though, since this is your first time out here, first time on the course, and has any driver, like past driver, said, hey, Sarah, this is where it kind of gets really gnarly. This is where the hard parts are. Has anybody given you some, like, words of advice?
Yeah, definitely. Even in qualifying, like, Rob Mack was giving me advice in qualifying, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool right now.
Is that where you're, like, giddy? Like, oh, that's Rob Mack. Like, he's giving me advice?
Like, the fact he, like, he came to me and was like, hey, so watch out here. And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't ask or anything, and he just, like, was open to helping me, which was really cool. But, yeah, I've been kind of, you know, I ask as much as I can questions to the right people and hopefully get some good feedback. So there's not too much, though. Like, people weren't like, oh, we need to watch at this one for this gotcha or whatever. But everyone just basically like, hey, go watch videos of people crashing so you can get familiar with those spots.
Well, each time, each lap, like you were saying, you know, Jim was saying, phone the first lap in, second lap get a little bit better, third lap and whatnot. And obviously everybody goes in with the game plan until they hit a specific whoop section or a specific area. So when that happens, how quickly do you just change everything or you just kind of go turn by turn, lap by lap?
Honestly, me and Erica, we're probably going to be writing notes as we go the first lap a little bit, just like for big things like rocks that could potentially be flats and stuff. But on it, I'm just going to play it smart, really. But yeah, it's just going to go as we go kind of thing. And I honestly, if we're just cruising, like I'm pretty smart coming from motocross. I can really retrain and stuff like that and keep myself on afloat, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to kind of use our instinct, I think.
Use the woman power. Oh, by the way, Jim, it's Happy International Women's Day.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
See? Right. So, Sarah, Erica, happy International Women's Day for
nice.
That.
Yeah, where is Miss Erica?
Erica is
I heard she was in bed very early last night.
She was in bed really early.
Cynthia,
so
she's like, yeah, Erica was in bed.
She was so funny last night. Oh, my gosh.
She's always funny, though.
We've been laughing so hard this morning, and she's trying to get her bags at the truck, and then she just called me, and she's like, okay, you will not believe my morning. I'm not you, so I can't get into the truck. And I was like, well, pay them or something. Like, pay them off to let you get the truck. She goes, well, the money's in the truck. She goes, I don't know how we're going to do this. I was like, I'm legitimately laughing right now. We're a mess.
Let me in that truck, and I promise you I'll give you what's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a fishy story.
No, so her and Cynthia are on a mission trying to get into the truck at Valet right now.
That's funny.
Oh, I was like, I can't miss Jim's show. I got to make it there, guys. Like, I seriously was walking over here with a cup of coffee, like, still the ceramic cup.
So what is, I know, so big news, you assigned this, you actually brought in some rad partners this year. I know Foil Parts, one of them, they're kind of your title sponsor this year.
Yep.
Saw you at Hammers, did phenomenal there, by the way, Miss Price. So what's the whole schedule this year? What are you planning on doing in the truck and any other UTV stuff? What's the plans?
So far I'm racing this race and then all a score. So I'll be racing the TT Spec in Baja and, yeah, I'm stoked to be here. For side-by-side, I'm trying to pick out another race. I want to race another race in it, and I don't know what. Like, I'm trying to think maybe Noro could be really cool in the side-by-side, but I don't know.
Yeah, Noro's fun. I think just they've actually got a big group of UTVs starting to go down there.
Yeah, yep.
So, that's an Ultra 4 spec now. You can kind of do whatever the heck you want with the Ultra 4 series, right? They got some rad events in, like, Reno and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, they do, too. I want to do, like, one-off big race. Like, King of the Hammers is a one-off big race for UTVs kind of thing, you know, even though it's a series. But it's a cool event that I will never miss. And I want to find another UTV race like that. Like, I've already looked in, like, Texas and, like, some other places, too, that I, like, I'm like, is there another big race out there that I don't know about or what's going on?
You got to get linked up with Huber because there's some rad stuff, and your car would be perfect for it, I think, in, like, the Southeast. Like they've got all the, like, not GNCC stuff, but trails and woods, and, like, they got gnarly,
yeah,
like, stuff. Like,
I want to go mud bogging.
Yeah.
That's next weekend, right? Isn't the Mud Nationals next weekend or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I think it's, like, next week or two, Mud Nationals, yeah.
Really?
You should just go out there and just take your truck out there. And right. Be like, hey, guys, I'm here. What's up, man?
Yeah, I got a Ram now, 4x4, so that works.
Yeah.
Probably I'll get that thing pretty stuck pretty fast, I'm sure. But, yeah, my side-by-side, that's the thing. I don't want to build, like, a whole desert car. So, like, I don't want to, like, sign up for a score or best in desert race because I don't want to build a whole, vehicle again. Like, I just kind of want to have my KOH machine and do something with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the rad things about the KOH cars is because I'm building one for next year, like, as we speak, and they're capable, but they're not, like, over the top. These desert cars, like, literally, you could throw $100,000 away, like, in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And, like, it's truth, and I hate to say that, but it's got to that point.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
It is. It's crazy anymore, and so that's the one thing that I love about King of Hammers is the fact that you can just, honestly, ride a stock machine, and it's legal.
That's true.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You had some time in some SST trucks, too, right?
Yeah, I did. I raced SST trucks quite a bit in 2016 and 15, and oh, those things are a blast. I love them. They're a little bit sketchy, and mm-hmm. that's what I like about it because, you know, it's constantly just having a good time and correcting and kind of going for it, and, you know, like, we just bash each other, like, yep. to make passes, and it goes back to, like, the moto days, and mm-hmm. I love that stuff, so you can bring out the aggression in your driving, and it was a good time. I loved those trucks.
So, because I'm from Detroit, and IndyCar and SST come out for the Detroit Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So that maybe could be a one-off from you. Just call Robbie up and be like, hey, Robbie, can you get me a ride for this one race? Because it's a dual race, and there's, like, IMSA, IndyCar, SST, so it's a bunch of different things.
Yep. Yeah. Whenever I call Robbie, though, he's like, so how much money you got? And I'm like, you know what, Robbie? I'm done calling you all the time to try getting in this truck.
That's Robbie. Like, I'll get calls from Robbie, and he's like, Jimmy, I got an SST truck for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, awesome, man. He's like, well, this is what it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's always the salesman.
Yeah.
Like, he calls and be like, hey, you want in? Yeah. And then he tells you the price. You're like, yeah. It's not a bad price. Like, it really isn't.
No, it's not.
But, you know, it's just like, yeah, I just don't have that just sitting in the checking account.
Exactly.
Right now. I guess something would take me a few months to try and, you know, pitch to sponsors and,
yep.
you know.
Yeah, and then, like, he'll get me excited, like, hey, we might be able to do this, and then, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen. I'm like, darn it. But at least I did get the chance to at least race in them quite a bit in those years, so I'm stoked just to have that chance.
The rad thing about those is like, one of those where, you know, something might pop up, and you never know. Like, they run so many races, and you say, oh, I don't know, and then, like, 2 months from now, you could be in one at an event. You
exactly.
know, it's just, you never know with Robbie in that program. That's what's so rad about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really cool thing that they're doing. It would be cool to, like, see it become more main stage, like, or go back to the stadium like I know he was trying to do, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always good times catching up, Sarah. I know.
Yeah.
I know we get some weird, like, rainy weather, whatever going
on. It's so
on right
cold.
Now.
I don't like the cold.
No, I'm freezing over here.
I know.
I'm legit freezing.
And she's from Detroit.
I'm from Detroit, and it's freezing. And then what made me even more baffled is when we were at KOH, I, like, drove into town. I got the $5 pizza.
Yeah.
Drove back, and it started snowing. I'm like, I legit left Detroit, and it's snowing in Southern California right now. What is going on?
I know,
me?
Right? The weather's been crazy here.
Yeah, it's
gnarly. Oh. Yeah, but, well.
All right. Well, I know you got to get to an autograph signing, I guess, in the rain. That's going to be nice and convenient.
I know. How's that going to work?
But
you got to get an umbrella boy.
I know. I need an umbrella boy.
Yeah. There's all the umbrella girls in, like, Formula Drift and stuff like that. So get yourself an umbrella boy and just have him follow you.
I know.
What's it pay? Like, I'll follow you around. Right? What's it pay? Like, I'll take that job.
I need to just find a boyfriend that's willing to do it.
Good luck with that one.
Right, I know. That's what everyone's like, good luck with that. I'm like,
why do they say that?
I know. I'm like, why?
It's because most guys can't humble themselves enough to actually do it.
Yeah. No,
or real talk, they're just intimidated how badass Sarah is and don't want to take a backseat.
See, I would do it like just to own it. I'd be walking around like, yeah, that's Sarah.
I get to hold her umbrella and bring her coffee in the morning.
We had
people be walking up and be like, all right, it's $5 an autograph.
We had a friend actually tell me, Cynthia, and Erica today or yesterday. They're like, you know what? Any boy that's with any of you girls is going to be a strong man. Like, because you guys are three strong females. But it's cool. There's still some out there.
Maybe we can find Sarah one. We should hold auditions. Who wants to be Sarah Price's umbrella boy audition today?
No. Oh, no.
Mom is like, I've got too many Sarah Price stories. Like, her, me, and Jolene, we did some traveling together. Like, I don't know. I've got fun stories.
No,
so.
I feel like you have stories from everybody because you have stories about
me. But everybody's got stories on me. So it's like one of those, like, a mutually, we'll just take everything to the grave. And
we should all just write a book one day and pass it along.
Yeah. I agree.
It's one of those. I think we all collectively, when we're all, like, in our 70s and nobody cares, we're going to write a book and nobody will care about us by then anyways. But we're just going to finally be like, hey, it doesn't matter. We'll just tell all these stories now.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to tell the stories when nobody cares. But Yeah, I don't know.
This one time, T. Stone was doing this thing, and then Sarah Price was doing this other thing. And, Jim Beaver, we won't talk about what he was doing.
Yeah, it's like always the it, like last night. It's just so funny, you know. Everyone's kind of out of their element and just like letting their hair down a little bit, and it's cool.
Because we don't race till Sunday.
And I know.
I was in there literally. There's so many trophy truck guys in there, and the you and me and Craig and. You wouldn't see people at Hogs and Heifers having fun times like that on a normal race weekend.
No.
But we don't race for like 3 days.
I know. It is kind of weird. Like everyone's like, good luck tomorrow. They're like, wait, Sunday. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, it's kind of weird. We're waiting like a few days to actually race.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about it, but we'll make it work. Like,
it was cool. Like last night got to happen because of it. But yeah, it is. It's like a lot of time down, you know, and we got here on Wednesday.
Yeah. And Erica's case yesterday happened because she didn't make it tonight, right?
Yeah. The day happened for her.
She was planning it, too. She goes, you know what? I think tomorrow's our night. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then she just went big.
Like last night or the night before?
Last night.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
He told me I dodged a bullet, though. He's like, T-Stone, you dodged a bullet because they're like, come. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm still on East Coast time.
Yeah.
He's like, you dodged a bullet. I'm like, I thought that I probably would have. You know, 7 a.m. call times come quick, especially when you got to be on camera and you're like, I can't wear sunnies. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard when you have to wake up early and then you have to look presentable, too. It's like as a female, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because
you know
we
it's
all.
Like. Yeah.
It's interesting because you do stunt work. You have call times. I do TV. She does TV. Like, we all work in the entertainment industry, so we're used to call times and stuff. So when we actually get a chance to let our hair down, it's very rare because we're all professional.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And we know about call times, and none of us are going to go out and get rowdy when we've got work the next day because that's what literally pays our bills, you know?
Yep.
And so it's like, it's funny because, like, last night, like, you and I have been a million places together. That has happened. I can count on one hand.
Right?
You
know
what I mean? Because I know. It just doesn't, you know?
Yeah, it's not very often I get that opportunity. And I've been on like a stunt job for the last 10 days. And I came straight from that straight to here. My call times are 4 a.m. every day. And so I was like, this is killing me right now. So I got to the mint and I was like, okay, now I can actually relax a little bit and like sleep in.
Yeah. Well, and we got to curl our hair.
Yeah.
Do some other things like look. Like a female, kind of.
Yeah.
Look like a female, kind
of. No, you don't understand, because when I was doing Trail to SEMA, like, you just wear backwards hats, sunglasses, everything, just be chill. And then I was at SEMA, and they're like, oh, so you do really look like a girl. I'm like, what does that mean? Yes, I am a girl.
Yeah. I know. It's like, all the time, the same thing. Like, people don't recognize me from, like, when I'm in the dirt to, like, right now, you know, I try to put a little effort in, and they're like, oh, you clean up nice.
Thanks. You're like, yeah, just get a girl that can do both. That's what I'm going to say from now on.
I was going to say, do you guys have the suite at the Cosmo this go-around?
No, we don't. I actually...
Yeah, I know you feel guilty about taking that, though.
I do. I didn't want to ask Bill again, and he's so sweet, but I saw him because he qualified with us, and... You know, we're good friends, and so he's, like, probably wondering. He's like, why aren't you at the Cosmo?
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
She
we
gets
SEMA.
The baller suite at the top of the Cosmo.
He seriously spoils us. So, like, we race with who runs it.
Yes.
And he one time we finished behind him in one of our races, and he's just like, anytime, you're taking care of at the Cosmo. And then, like, he got us a room this one time, and we, like, walk in, and me and Eric were like, how does this happen to us?
You can get lost in it. It was
we're
that
like,
big.
That's awesome.
This is unbelievable. Like, he is beyond amazing for doing that for us. It was a cool experience.
They have this big wraparound balcony that overlooks the, like, literally, Sarah and I are having lunch, like, Jimmy, you got to come up to my room. And that, like, sounds bad. But, like, no, she's like, no, Jimmy, you've got to come up to my room. You've got to see this room. Like, I go up there and I'm like, oh.
Can we,
like,
do a show from there next time?
Yeah, honestly. So, like, whenever I had the room at the Cosmo, like, we just have people come there.
Yeah.
Like, it just come hang out at Sarah's room. Well, I know it sounds weird, but it is exactly that.
It's actually Sarah's house off the top of the Cosmo. It's not even, like...
It's the most beautiful view, too, over
the room, like a full bar inside the room.
Mm-hmm. So, SEMA 2019, party at Sarah Price's.
Do it. Do it at Cosmo.
We can start.
Gonna have to ask
people.
Bill about this.
Tell him we're going to do radio from up there. He'd probably love it. Like, because, you know, just slide in a bunch of Cosmo plugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The chandelier bar.
Oh, those flower thingies that make your mouth all numb.
Yes. And Wicked Spoon, the buffet there.
Oh, so good. Everything's great there. I love the Cosmo.
This is all we're doing. We're talking about hair, makeup, and food now.
We will. Well, actually, we're going to have to do that. We'll tell him, hey, we want to do like a national radio show from the suite in the Cosmo. And he's probably like, let's do it.
But we got to go in the summer when we can have like a pool party and like, do it. We should do a poolside party.
Sure, they got heated pools. Like,
Oh, that's awesome. We totally need to do that.
Yeah. You see, we started this out. Sarah's all serious, and then I put the kibosh on it. And you know what? This is the Sarah Price I know for the last 20 minutes. I'm like,
but you know,
I knew she
anybody.
Was in there. We just had to pause that for a second.
Yeah, I do. I could totally get like total professional, or you know, it just goes the other way. But when you get to know me, the more and more, like Reese Millen, he always gets on to Erica. He's like, teach your friend how to talk. And she's like, no, that's Sarah. That's what makes her who she is. But, yeah, it's funny.
She puts on this, like, she's the badass, like, off-road racer persona, and she's like a goofball.
Everybody is. We all have a side. Both of us are talking heads, but then you get us off of it. Like, whenever I call in for Jim's show, he's like, Tiffany, don't say anything yet, because some of the funniest things we say is before I hit record.
Yeah.
And so we started to, and then it just...
All of our good segments are off-air, and I'm like, we can't... Literally, when you're going to do the show, we cannot talk before. We just hit record, and then it's
do
like...
Do it, yeah.
Because it's like, you never know what the heck's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. So.
I feel like we've taken so much of Sarah's time right now.
Yeah, I know she got 14 minutes to get to her signing.
I need to find a jacket in between that. Yeah. I'm like scouting already, like might have a jacket.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I don't know. I know Polaris got t-shirts, but I don't know about jackets.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll find something. There's someone around here. It's a friend.
It's a friend. Be like, hey,
can I borrow your jacket? Yeah.
I won't give it back to you, but can I have this?
Yeah, it's funny because yesterday after qualifying, Casey Mears, so I raced with him in Stadium Super Trucks. He's a good friend of mine. We were hanging out, and he was cold. He had only a shirt on. And so Craig Scanlon was like, oh, hey, my jacket's two jackets in one. You want some of it? And like, I just saw him walk by with like his jacket still on.
He's like, didn't get the memo on that. I needed to give that back to you.
So yeah. Craig's over here bumming the sweatshirts and hoodies off of the Polaris staff because Casey's walking around with his
jacket. Yeah, yeah. It's all over.
It's like we're in this vicious cycle here, I think.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, too funny.
All right, I'm going to go find a jacket.
Lots of fun, Sarah. Thank you.
Thanks,
good luck
guys.
This weekend, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's show. Big thanks to Chris Leone for calling into the show and helping me out with those power rankings. Sarah Price, Craig Scanlon, Seth Quintero, all of you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you guys enjoyed what you heard. And you know what? It's time to celebrate. The Adam Carolla Show just hit its 10th anniversary, and Adam is kicking it off in style. Join Adam this week as he welcomes late night talk legend Jimmy Kimmel on The Adam Carolla Show and Jay Leno on CarCast. Congratulations, Adam. Download The Adam Carolla Show and CarCast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And, you know, thank you guys to continue to support Project Action here on Podcast One. Don't forget, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media. Subscribe over there on iTunes. And hopefully you guys have a great week. We'll be back next week with some more long-form interviews and a whole lot of fun. And don't forget, if you are into off-road racing, tune into Lucas Oil Short Course from Glen Helen this Saturday. I'll be your host of the live stream out there with the biggest and baddest off-road racers on the planet. Do battle there in SoCal. All right, take it easy. We'll see you next week.